This show proudly sponsored by Real American Freestyle Wrestling. Recently, a close friend of mine experienced an unexpected loss. Watching their family struggle emotionally and financially made me stop and think seriously about my own family's future. As the primary provider, I know how important it is to make sure that if anything ever happened to me, my family would still be able to manage. So I realized that without life insurance, my family would be left with overwhelming financial burdens. I looked into coverage before, but the process always felt complicated, got endless forms, phone calls, and medical exams, made everything take weeks. So that's why Ethos stood out to me. Their process is simple and 100% online. There's no medical exam required, just a few health questions, and you get a quote in as little as 10 minutes. In many cases, you can even receive same-day coverage without ever leaving your house. Ethos offers up to $3 million in coverage, with some policies starting as low as $2 a day, billed monthly. It's a trustworthy company that's changing the way people think about life insurance. So protect your family's financial future with life insurance from Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/Brian. That's ethos.com/Brian. Application times may vary. Rates may vary.
Not going to make quick decisions about New York, not New York right now. New York has some great things going for it, as you know, like the human capital, the brain power, the financial industry. So it's a center for us. But my question would be really saying is New York has to compete. You know, no city has divine rights to success. There are great cities everywhere. We now have more people in Texas than we have in New York. That didn't have to be that way. And so, you know, if I was any mayor of any city, I'd be thinking about what do I need to do to build a great city to help all of my citizens and, you know, all the things that create, you know, good competition.
J.P. Morgan Chase Chairman CEO Jamie Dimon speaking yesterday on the impact of Zohran Mamdani's win. And, of course, he has a building about two blocks from Fox headquarters. It is a mammoth building, billions of dollars of investment. It's hard to believe that he would be able to leave even if he wanted to. Will Cain, you did leave before the election. Thanks so much for joining us.
What's up?
Did you know that more J.P. Morgan Chase employees in Texas than in New York City?
I did. And I knew that fact. And last night driving through the streets of New York was the first time I saw that new building in New York City.
Is it unbelievable?
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And to think that
huge rocks at the bottom.
And to think they built that. And yet they still have more employees in Texas than in New York. And they're not alone. Goldman Sachs is putting a huge office in New York. They'll have more employees. I mean, in Texas, they'll have more employees in Dallas
mm-hmm.
than they have in New York. And I've heard rumors there's some other ones, big ones, coming to Dallas.
So the first thing I would do as mayor is meet with all these guys and say, listen, what do I need to say? These are my philosophies. How do we work together? But so far, Jamie Dimon says, I haven't heard much. I was invited to one meeting. I was out of the country. I haven't heard anything since. What does that tell you about how you think he might govern?
Well, what we know so far is two things about Zohran Mamdani and how he'll govern. Number one is what he said. I mean, you have to take that the most seriously. What he said and what his philosophy is and his ideology. I mean, the guy is a self-avowed Democrat socialist. He quotes Eugene Debs, as you pointed out, I think, this morning on Fox and Friends, who was a famous socialist, ran for president 5 times on the socialist ticket in the 1920s in America. And who he staffed himself with around on his transition team and the people that contributed to his election. And the people that he's already staffed on his transition team, there's a lot of de Blasio holdovers. And here's the thing. As much as we talk about Mamdani, de Blasio was a communist. That's also not a controversial.
Change his name, change everything.
Exactly. Didn't he honeymoon in Cuba or Soviet Union or one
and
of these
Bernie
places?
Sanders did in Russia, the Soviet Union.
Right. So the de Blasio continuation is a part of what we'll see with Mamdani. And I lived in New York during the de Blasio years. It was a mess. He was a mess. The city was a mess.
It was hard to break New York because Giuliani twice, and then three terms of Bloomberg, who, even if you don't agree with him on the big gulps or whatever, and she limits size, guy was unbelievably competent. And I also heard that he took money out of his pocket a lot and just fixed things. Just like fixed it. You don't do that job to be rich. You do it as service. And he set up almost a school for mayors where he brings them through the X's and O's and how to do it. This guy's not interested in even doing that.
Bloomberg's interesting because, I complained as well about the big gulps and the micromanagement of life. But if you are going to have a leader that micromanages life in some way, it's best done at the city level, not at the state, not at the national level. And he was competent, to your point. You're going to have now incompetence in there. I think you had incompetence with de Blasio. Mm-hmm. We'll see with Mamdani. We have an ideological guy. Will we have competence to go along with it? Meaning, can he actually make the trains run on time? Can he clean up the subway? Is he interested in cleaning up the subway? Is he interested in keeping safe streets and so forth? But you what I'm going towards with the Bloomberg thing is you don't have to bring this full circle back to, you know, all of this business moving to Texas and notably Dallas. That is not how that city is run. That is not how that state is run. It is a minimal impact on life government, and it flourishes. It's a clean, easy, nice, great city.
Nearly home. Isn't home where we all want to be? Reba here for Realtor.com, the pros' number one most trusted app. If you're hearing me, I'm going to assume you're awake. And if you aren't, because while you're snoozing, someone else might be finding your dream home. That's where Realtor.com comes in. With over 500,000 new real listings straight from the pros every month, that's a lot of chances to find the place you've been dreaming of. Whether you're searching for a two-story mid-century with a pool or a little extra space with a spa-inspired bathroom, Realtor.com can help you find it today. So quit hitting that snooze button. Realtor.com isn't sleeping on finding your dream home, and neither should you. Download the Realtor.com app today, because you're nearly home. Make it real with Realtor.com.
Pros number one most trusted app based on August 2024 proprietary survey. Over 500,000 new listings every month based on average new for sale and rental listings, February 2024 through January 2025.
We've all heard the radio and TV ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution to your tax problem. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids. No matter where you are, visit TRA.com. Don't lose hope. TRA can reduce or even eliminate what you owe to the IRS. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals and businesses fix their IRS problems. We have thousands of five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. Generous tax relief programs are now available that can give you a fresh start. So don't wait. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com. That's TRA.com. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Now, Florida's almost stopped recruiting at this point. Has Texas?
Well, I think we should.
Right.
I really do.
Because you're getting everyone's, you know, a lot of people that don't want to come over there and be capitalists.
I'm highly concerned about cultural shift. Highly concerned about the thing that may. And okay, let's talk about Texas, but let's also, for everyone listening, understand we're also talking about America. So this is one in the same.
Yeah.
What am I worried about with Texas? There are things that made it great. And most of what made it great is a culture. And it's a long, that culture was bred over time, mm-hmm. like over 150 years with the people that first came to Texas. That spirit, that risk tolerance, that pushing the edge, that frontiersmanship.
America wasn't new enough. They went to Texas for something new.
And they were edgy people.
Yeah.
They weren't safe, rich, happy people. Right. They were like, I need something better, and I'm going to go fight the Comanches.
Some were running from
the
law.
Some ran from the law. But they built a culture that has sustained over time. If you bring people in that don't buy into that culture, even if you buy into the politics, it does highly concern me. Let's bring that back over to America. I, President Trump says, love you. Let's bring the best and the brightest. Well, I like that to a degree, but I want to preserve American culture. As much as I want us to be a transactional corporation that works great and everybody makes a good living, more than that, I want the culture that got us here over time, and I want to preserve that. And for me, that's not just a conversation about illegal immigration. That's a conversation about legal immigration. That's a conversation about H-1B visas. That's a conversation about assimilation. And I think those are actually, Brian, I think that's the most important thing that should be focused on in America. I think everything else is subsidiary to that. And one person that I do think shares that belief with me is the vice president.
So you want people that want to be Americans?
And I want them to buy into being Americans and to become Americans.
So that's why they put them through tests. Before you become an American, you get a green card. That's a nonstop test. You get a DWI with a green card. You get in a bar fight. You lost your green card. So you're on trial, number one. And number two is you're going to have to pass a test in order to do it.
But not just civics, Brian. I'm going to be blunt with you. I want you to leave behind the majority of your culture. The place that you're leaving is a product of your culture. Now you assimilate and adopt our culture.
Mm-hmm.
Now you bring some parts of it, and this is the part of America where we've taken from Italian, we've taken from Mexican American, we've taken from.
I mean, there's Little Italy for a reason. I mean, there is a Brazil, like that Brazil street that's right, which is the Diamond District.
But that's not ideal.
No.
Ideal is assimilation.
Yeah.
And you come to America because you like Friday Night Football, because you like the way we go about
life.
Like
the Cubans did. in that generation when Castro took
over. Oh, by the way, there's a ton of successful examples of this. It's not ethnically or racially tied. It's about culture. Mm-hmm. Do you buy into culture?
So let me ask you on immigration, not quite on the topic, but immigration is the headline.
Real quick on this, you know who Jennifer Welch is? Is that her name? Jennifer?
Yeah. The
I don't know why she's somebody. She was a Bravo star of some type,
and she's now she's an angry leftist.
So she's the other night when Mom Donnie wins, she's over there on one of the networks she's on. She's got Mehdi Hasan, who is a multiculturalist that hates American culture. She's got the dude that looks like he's from The Invincibles or The Incredibles with the hair that goes up. I don't know his name.
I know who you're talking about.
And she says the problem in America is crusty white people. And that America, there's no such thing as culture. There is no American culture. And the culture of America is multicultural.
And she's very popular.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
That's my enemy.
What would you do with the immigrants, a lot in Texas, mm-hmm. that have been working on farms for 20 years, working in meatpacking for 20 years? What would you do with them? Do they need to be rounded up and tossed out?
Well, that's a really, that's supposed to be a really hard question. And in some ways, it is. Like, do I personally know people that fit the description? Yeah, I do. And they're good people.
Especially if you're a soccer fan.
And they're friends. Yeah. I don't want you to narrow down my but yeah. But we also are a nation of laws. And if being a good person, you know, last night, I don't know if you saw his story, defensive end for the Dallas Cowboys, second round pick a year ago, scored a touchdown on Monday night when they blocked the punt, Marshawn Nealon. He died last night. It's breaking news this morning. And everybody's like, he's such a great guy. And we don't know what happened, but there are some chatter out there that it wasn't good. And I was just talking to some guys over there. I'm like, man, everybody says he's a good guy. But being a good guy does not absolve you of having to obey the rules, obey the laws. And so you take it back to the immigration thing, and I'm sorry, we are a nation of laws, and there's a path to citizenship that is required of people. And being a good person, even somebody that I like or even that I love, does not change the necessity to follow the law.
Okay. So you're saying it's a black and white issue.
I think, okay, if it's not black and white, where is the gray line? Case by case? What are we going to do?
Well, I have a great idea. You want to know?
Yeah. You're about to solve something big.
Do you have a pen handy?
Yeah.
You want to jot
no?
this down for your show? It's okay. You have a great mind.
Do you have a Sharpie somewhere?
Right, no, somewhere. All right, ready? 15 years over with a sponsor, never get citizenship, but you basically have to register, we'll get a hold of you, and you're never going to be a citizen. But if you have somebody sponsor you in meatpacking, farming, whatever it is, you'd have an opportunity to stay on something like an extended work visa. For example, there are work visas where people come in seasonally and can work officially.
Yep.
I would expand that, number one, legally. Legally be a seasonal work visa. And I would also...
Seasonal, though? Because the people you're describing aren't here seasonally.
No, true. It's two separate things. I would just say the work visas to attract people because we need manual labor, it seems, almost everywhere. If you talk especially in the farming community, how would you feel about people who have been here before that have that sponsorship
where
you focus on the worst to the worst?
15 years.
Yep.
Sponsorship.
Mm-hmm. No citizenship.
What are
almost,
you?
Basically an extended work visa. And then you get on the books. You're paying taxes. You're going to have to work for a person that's going to pay you what everyone else is getting paid. And if you hire that person in order to get around the system, you're not going to sponsor that
How
person.
How do you prove you've been here for 15 years?
I
so
think you,
address?
Well, that's on them. And I think you could prove it from various things that maybe got to... How are you getting paid? Is there bank records? Are you walking into, your favorite bank and depositing money here?
I mean, I think your idea is interesting.
Because
I'd be open to it. You know what you have to do? Then you have to sit down and think about the
hospitality.
You got to think about all the things that we're not thinking about. You got to take them at what? How does that get exploited? How does that get cheated? Even beyond that, what is that net effect on America? And I'm not closed to your idea, but I'm not ready to co-sign either just yet.
What about if I was to tell you that so many people who voted for Trump in business and in the farming community are asking for that? They say, you can't gut my entire workforce. I had nobody working here. I was hired illegally, and it was really no problem. If all my guys leave, I'm done.
First of all, I don't even think we're on pace for that, Brian. Like, we're not on pace to be deporting everybody that we're describing. Like, we're having a debate about something that is theoretical. I know that the other networks all talk about it like we're deporting every single person that's in this country illegally. The numbers don't support that.
It's only been a couple of million that have left so far.
that have left, and a lot of that's self-deported.
Yeah.
Over a million have self-deported.
Yeah. Yes. So they're squeezing out anyway. Other people say, listen, I want to stay. And I think there's something to be said for that. And if you look at these industries, like with the E-Verify, you put E-Verify in and right away you can be able to get a lot of people. They just, Democrats lobbied to get that out because it was actually revealing who was here illegally.
Yeah.
So I just think there's got to be some type of break here. Also in Texas, I think a lot of people in Texas feel the same way.
Texas, I can tell you, Texas has changed over my lifetime.
Yeah.
It has changed dramatically. And so, yes, a lot of people are here that are good people, are working and doing valuable jobs, but is it what's... My only question is the greatest political prism of our time, does it serve America first?
Right. Does it keep our economy going? Thanks so much, Will Cain.
Right,
we'll see you on Will Cain Country and the Will Cain Show at
along
4
with the Ruthless Variety Program. Co-show
this has never
today.
Been done. It's yeah. too much talent. It's too much talent.
What do you
should
call
be
it?
It's Will Cain Country. Watch it live at noon Eastern, Monday through Thursday at foxnews.com or on the Fox News YouTube channel. And don't miss the show. Listen and follow the podcast 5 days a week at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.